Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Welcome to another edition of Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. I am truly happy to be with you tonight. It's been a real trying week, but tonight I am glad to have back with us Chaplain Lindsey Williams, and whenever he comes to the stage, things lighten up. But tonight he's coming with some very interesting news, and we're glad that he chose to come and share it with Center Stage. He's talking about a possible financial collapse headed toward the U.S. possibly as early as January 2014. So tonight, we can't wait to hear from Chaplain Lindsey Williams. But for those of you who maybe are tuning in to Center Stage for the first time or possibly have tuned into Center Stage but have never heard Chaplain Williams when he was on the show. Let me give you just a little background so you'll understand, and I can clarify why he has the knowledge that he has and why we look to him with total admiration is one thing, because most people don't come across the knowledge that he has about things like this before they happen. But also we look to him because whenever he comes, absolutely everything he says happens like he says is going to happen. So we so admire his knowledge and his ability to have a connection with the elitists and the things that are going on in this country. So for those of you who are not familiar with Lindsey Williams, you've been under a rock, and for some reason you have never heard his name before. Tonight, let me try to clarify who is Lindsey Williams. Lindsey Williams is an ordained Baptist minister, and he went to Alaska in 1970 as a missionary. While in Alaska, Pastor Williams found out about the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, which began construction April 29, 1974. Because of Pastor Williams' love for the U.S. and concern for the spiritual welfare of over 25,000 workers on the pipeline, he volunteered to serve as chaplain on the pipeline with the full support of the Alaska Pipeline Company. Pastor Williams was given the northern seven of the 28 construction camps, including the oil field at Prudhoe Bay, to hold worship services at the seven camps once a day. After 6 months, a PR employee at Alaska Pipeline Company told Pastor Williams that he was an invaluable asset to the company. He said that Lindsey was saving the pipeline company thousands of dollars of counseling fees, and they had voted successfully to give Pastor Williams executive status if he wanted it. Executive status meant that Lindsey Williams could go anywhere he liked and see anything he wanted regarding the pipeline operations. They gave him an executive pass, and he was also invited to sit in on board meetings in an advisory capacity in order to help the relationship between management and labor. For 3 years, Pastor Williams had the opportunity to sit, live, and rub shoulders with the most powerful, controlling, and manipulative men on the face of the planet. During that 3 years, Pastor Williams developed relationships with some elitists that until this date give him information on what they're about to do before they do it. So tonight, Pastor Williams is about to share with us some recent updates that he has been given about what we can expect in terms of an economic collapse headed toward the U.S., possibly as early as January 2014. So before we begin, we want to remind you that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage, the host, or our advertisers. With that out of the way, we want to say good evening to you, Chaplain Williams. How are you? Let me get to having a small problem opening up your phone line. There you go. Good evening. How are you?
Carrie, thank you so very much for allowing me to be with you tonight on Center Stage. I feel honored.
It is my pleasure. You know, every time you come, I'm always so excited, and I call everybody I know, and I put it on my Facebook page and my Twitter page, and I have to tell everybody that Lindsey Williams is coming again, because I'm always so excited that when you tell us something, it's just kind of like having, you know, insider information before anybody else gets it, because we know that when you bring something to us, it always happens just as you tell us it's going to happen.
Well, Carrie, there's a reason for that, and it's the providence of God. I give him all the glory, because there's no way that an ordinary, everyday minister of the gospel could have been invited to be the chaplain to the elite of the world for a three-year period unless it had been by the providence of God. And because of that, I literally rub shoulders with the people that the average person hears about but never gets to meet. Now, these people do honestly exist. Let me assure everyone out in the listening audience of Center Stage, there positively is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world. I say it with no hesitation whatsoever, because I lived with them. And the experiences that I had with those people back in those days, it changed my life. Because try to understand, if you can, that here is a person that's been brought up in a wonderful Christian home, godly parents, mother and dad always stayed together. I was taken to church at an early age. I came to know Christ as my Savior when only 11 years of age. And then after graduating from high school, went off to Bible college and got a bachelor's degree, then became a pastor for 12 years. And all of a sudden, this individual who has lived in such a Christian environment all of his life is thrown right into the midst of the most controlling, the most manipulative, the most powerful people on the face of this earth. And I had a difficult time even believing that such people existed. And if someone had asked me prior to my experience, Chaplain Williams, do you believe there's a group of people on the face of the earth that control the world? I would have laughed at them, honestly. I would. And I know that there may be some out there in the audience tonight that you say, well, I've always wondered. Well, let me assure you they do. And if someone had asked me after my experience, do you believe there's a group of people that dictate who the president of the United States of America is going to be? Every bill that Congress passes that tells OPEC and the Arabs on any given day what they'll give them for a barrel of oil and controls the currencies of the world, I would have said not only do I believe it, I sat and listened to them talk about it. Now, that was about 37 years ago. Those people today are in their 70s and 80s. But when I lived amongst those people for those 3 years, keep in mind, they were not coming to my church. I was on their oil field, living amongst them, living in the executive dorms at Prudhoe Bay, and therefore it was a whole different world. I could talk with them one-on-one, and they would tell me things that they would probably never confide in a minister about. As a result, I intentionally made friends with some of those people. I made it a point to keep in touch with them year after year. And the amazing thing is that not only did I hear them talking about what they would do when I was literally living with them, but then later, every time they would tell me something, it would happen exactly like they said it. And it finally got to the place after a number of years that I realized that nothing ever happens by chance, that everything that takes place in politics, in religion, yes, you're right. All the way down to what happens with the currencies, the Federal Reserve, every single thing has been discussed and planned behind closed doors, and all of it takes place by design plan. So everything that we're seeing happen right now, none of it is happening by chance. And something happened within the past week, Carrie, that was so startling even to me. Now, it takes a lot to startle me because I've heard so much from these people over the years. But there was something this past week that happened that is so startling. Not a single financial newsletter has picked up on it yet that I know of. It has never appeared on the national news. And when you hear the series of events that took place in my life, you'll understand why I knew these things. Now, each one out there in the audience, imagine that you had the ability to have a phone number whereby you could pick up the phone and talk with one of these individuals. That is the position that by the providence of God I've had all of these years. And there again, I must again reiterate that I give the Lord all the praise and all the glory. Therefore, I really can't take credit for any of the predictions or any of the things that they say is going to happen. Because if it was within me to try to reckon these things, I'd be wrong time after time after time. Yet in 27 years, there's never been a single time that they've told me something that didn't happen exactly like it was going to. So I'm prone to believe that what happened this past week will likewise play out exactly as these people have said it. So let me urge you, if I will, to please get a pencil and paper. I'm going to give a lot of technical details tonight. I'm going to talk about some things in finance that before the show, when Carrie and I were talking on the telephone, I said, now, Carrie, if there's any time at which I'm giving things that you feel might need clarifying a little bit, or I'm going too deep into finance in such a way that the average person may not be picking up on it, I said, would you please break in and help me explain it in such a manner that the average person that is not necessarily a financial advisor, that you'd be able to understand what I'm saying, because this affects your dinner table. It's going to affect your children and their future. It's going to determine a lot of things about your life. And these people have things planned behind closed doors that whenever you hear me give the details, you will readily understand it. And you'll see the picture. It's difficult to see the picture when you only hear one thing. But when you see the total picture of what's happening, you can understand what's taking place. So, Carrie, with that promise now that you'll break in any time that you think something needs clarifying, I will try to go into what took place within the past few days, Carrie.
Okay, listen, we are sitting with our pens and paper ready. If you just tuned in, I'm Carrie Hines, your host. The voice you're listening to is that of Chaplain Lindsey Williams, and he's about to update us on what has occurred within this last week or so that we need to be concerned about because he is warning tonight of a possible financial collapse headed our way possibly as early as January 2014. So with that said, Pastor Williams, update us, please.
Well, let's begin where the whole scenario began, and you heard this on the news, but to recognize the depth of it, this is the story. On Wednesday afternoon, June the 19th, just a few days ago, today is only the 27th or 28th, but on June the 19th, on that Wednesday afternoon, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Mr. Bernanke, made a statement, and it was only a hint. It really wasn't a outright promise that it was going to happen this way. But Mr. Bernanke, just about the closing time of the markets, he made the statement that there is a possibility that the Federal Reserve might not print as much money in the future. And that's all it took. It literally sent the markets of the world, not just the United States of America, but of the entire world, into a frenzy. Now, let me try to explain what Mr. Bernanke did. Many of you will remember that nearly a year ago, the chairman of the Federal Reserve announced that the Federal Reserve was going to print or pull out of thin air somewhere in the neighborhood of $85 billion per month, just literally out of thin air. No gold to back it, no silver to back it. No land, nothing to back it whatsoever. They were just going to pull it out of thin air, and they were going to make it available to the banking and lending institutions of the world in order to keep them solvent. Now, many of you have heard of QE1, QE2, QE3, quantitative easing, is what it stands for, and that took place the first time in the last two or three months of the administration of President Bush. That was the first time that we heard that there might be a worldwide financial collapse. And the Federal Reserve said to Congress, unless you make available trillions of dollars, the whole financial system of the world is going to collapse. And it would have if they had not made it available. And they did with QE1, trillions. And they just literally gave it to the banking system in order to keep it solvent. Now, just recently, Mr. Bernanke, in order to put money into the system, said that the Federal Reserve was going to just pull out of thin air about $85 billion per month and keep everything stable until we could pull the economy out of the doldrums and get people back to work again. Well, the economy has not come out of the doldrums. People are not back at work again. And some people have been saying to Mr. Bernanke, head of the Federal Reserve, you have got to quit printing this money or it is going to bring about a disastrous situation. Well, everybody knows that, but he can't quit. And every time he hints that he's going to quit, the financial markets go into spasms. And that's exactly what happened on last Wednesday afternoon, June the 19th. Well, the next morning, June the 20th, I got up to go about my normal activities, and I turned on my computer, and I had two emails from my insider friend. You know them as the elite, whatever you'd like to call them. And I had not heard from this man. I had not heard from him in probably a month or two. I didn't know whether he was on vacation, what he was doing, didn't have the slightest idea. And all of a sudden, in one morning, I get two emails. And when I took the time to digest and read the emails, I was horrified. Now, the only reason that it probably affected me so much is because I've been in touch with these people so much over the past, 30-some-odd years, that I kind of have an idea of their thinking. And whenever I see certain buzzwords, I know that they're important. And I also realize that they have given me some time frames, of which I'll give you tonight. And so when I read these things, and I was appalled. Okay, now let me tell you where you can go to read the two emails that I was sent. You need to read them for yourself. I want you to print them out, because it is positively going to affect your lifestyle, your children, your home, and many areas of your life. And you need to understand what was said to me that upset me so much. I want you to go, if you will, I have them posted. It's free of charge, won't cost you a penny. I want you to go to lindsaywilliams.net. This is a free website. Don't charge for it whatsoever. I want you to go to lindsaywilliams.net, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, Williams.net, and post it on the front page. Just as soon as you bring that website up, you will see two emails that were personally sent to me, but I have tried to share them with the world if I can since that time. So now, you may want to look at them now, but I want you to print them out before it's over with. I want to read portions of these emails from you, to you, and then I'd like to explain to you why they're so important. Okay, here goes. The first one that was sent to me that morning, I'll read a section and then explain it. The seven-day repo rate, the benchmark rate for the funding cost between banks, surged. Now, this was after Mr. Bernanke's statement on Wednesday afternoon. On Wednesday night, it surged, they said. Now, let me try to explain this seven-day repo rate, benchmark rate for the funding cost between banks. On any given night, while you and I are sleeping, the banks of this world literally do billions and maybe trillions of dollars worth of business. They do it by wire. And while you're sleeping, the banks are very busy about their business. There is between banks a borrowing and lending, and it is called the seven-day repo rate, the benchmark rate for the funding cost between banks. And that rate has, as long as anybody can remember, it has been 3.30%. That means that's what they pay. Let me give you an example. Let's say that Bank of America needs $1 billion tomorrow. That's right. We're not talking about a million. We're talking about a billion. And this often happens. This is nothing unusual for this to happen in Europe and America and China and Japan and India. It's normal process, and it's all done by wire. There's no transfer of gold or silver or paper. They just do it by wire. And the Bank of America would contact some bank in Europe, or maybe Chase Bank or maybe Wells Fargo, and say, I need to borrow $1 billion from you overnight. And they know that they get it at 3.3%. So they can factor that 3.3% in, just like you do the interest rate on your house. It's at a certain rate of interest. And they factor that into the business that they need to carry out with that money on the following day. And the other bank sends it to them. And then later on, the other bank may call them and want to borrow $1 billion too. But it's just normal for banks to do this. Well, this rate, anytime it varies, especially when it goes up, it affects banking drastically. So when I got up on Thursday morning and realized that this rate had gone from 3.3% overnight on Wednesday night to 8.26% just because of a hint that Mr. Bernanke made I was startled. But then I read a little further and watched what was happening. During the day on Thursday, it went up again. And by the time it came around to Thursday night, this benchmark rate between banks had gone to 12.33%. Now, notice, from 3.3% to 12.33%, that sounds like credit card debt. I mean, that sounds like if that happened to your house, you'd be paying a phenomenal amount next month compared to what you're paying right now. It literally shut banking down. Interbanking literally shut down on Thursday night. Well, by the time this came around, I was startled beyond words, and I picked up the telephone because oftentimes the elite, the insiders, oftentimes they'll tell me things that I don't understand. Keep in mind now, I'm a minister of the gospel. I have a bachelor's degree in Bible, but I'm not a financial wizard by any stretch of the imagination because that wasn't my expertise. My expertise was the study of God's Word. And oftentimes these people will say things to me, and I really don't understand what they're saying. And I have to pick up the telephone and ask them, and so I did. I picked up the telephone, and I was hoping I would get my insider friend. And sure enough, he answered the phone. And when he did, I said, "Would you please tell me what is going on?" Now, folks, I hope you're seated and that you are listening very carefully with those pens in hand, because what I heard is going to affect your life and mine so drastically. First of all, he said, yes, this is exactly what happened. That inner rate was into effect as of by Thursday night, and it did. For all practical purposes, it shut down banking, inner trading between banks. And this is drastic because the bank needs something. Now, do you know what happened to the bank in China? Those of you who are in the financial world, you will recognize the name, the ICBC Chinese Bank. That's right. It announced on Thursday that it had run out of liquidity. This is unusual. China is supposed to be the second largest economy in the world, and they're just excelling over everybody else in the world except America. And all of a sudden, one of the largest banks in China announces that it has run out of liquidity. I want you to notice this wording carefully that was written in that email, because it did not say the bank was insolvent. It didn't say it had gone bankrupt. It said it ran out of liquidity. Let me try to explain that. It ran out of funds to do business with. Now, try to keep in mind that they lend out millions and millions and millions of dollars every day. They didn't have any to lend out. They didn't have any money to do business with. They had run out. They didn't have money to put in their machines out around the city and in front of the bank. The country of China had to quickly come to the rescue of the ICBCs in order to keep China from having a collapse in some financial ways. And so when I got on the phone and was asking about this, and he said, yes, Chaplain, that's exactly what happened. That inner rate bank surged. Well, Kerry, what I found out from this point on is where the startling part came in. What Mr. Bernanke said on Wednesday afternoon was planned. He did not slip. It was not a slip of the tongue. He did not make a mistake. He knew exactly what he was saying, and he said it on purpose. It had been planned in advance. They had known for weeks in advance that Mr. Bernanke was going to say an exact thing that he said. He did not slip up. And the elite of the world was sitting back watching like a hawk, like an eagle, to see what the financial markets would do when Mr. Bernanke made the statement he made. And by Saturday, they had found out everything they wanted to know. Let me try to explain what this was. What happened over that weekend the 19th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd of June was a test run. Now you're beginning to why I was so startled. Let me try to explain what a test run is. Let's say that Boeing Aircraft decides it's going to produce a new model of airplane. And after the first airplane comes off the assembly line, what do they do with it? Do they fill it up with passengers and fly it around the world? No, not all your life. They take a test pilot, and they let him fly it to make sure it's going to fly. And they test run it time after time after time until they get all the flaws out of it. And then they say, okay, it's ready to fly people in, and they'll sell it to an airline and fly passengers. That's called a test run. It is a trial before it actually happens. What Mr. Bernanke said was said, knowing in advance what he was going to say. They were sitting back in their plush offices watching to see what would happen, and they tried the entire world while you were sleeping on Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night to see how the financial markets would respond to what Mr. Bernanke said, because they wanted, now please catch this carefully, they wanted to devise a method whereby they could bring down all of the currencies of the world at one time. And they did it. They did it in three nights. And then when they had found out everything they needed to know, they knew exactly how the markets were going to respond, they knew exactly what would happen, they now have their computer diagnosis test run already when they are ready. Now, a number of people contacted me on Saturday, and I think I even had a call or so on Sunday, and said, Chaplain, what's going on? We're going to have a financial collapse on Monday morning. The banks are going to close. And I told him, I said, no, not any banks are going to close on Monday morning. That's right. I said, not a single bank's going to close on Monday morning. I said, there's not going to be any financial collapse. I said, you have nothing to worry about. Oh, but the interbank repo benchmark rate is going to 12.33%, and Wall Street is going into a spasm, and other markets are going into spasm. I said, that is exactly right. And I said, they will calm all of this down before Monday morning because they are not ready for the collapse yet. Folks, are you catching this? Everybody out there in the audience of Center Stage, I hope you're hearing me clearly. The elite are not ready for a financial collapse yet. Now, Carrie, before I make the statement that you'll probably remember on your program, do you think I'm getting this across so the average person can understand what's happening?
You know, Mr. Williams, you absolutely are. I am sitting here, and I'm somebody with a banking experience, technically, and so I can follow, but I think you're putting it in a way that all of us can follow. As Mr. Williams said, this is going to be affecting our children, our dinner tables, and I think anybody knows when you're talking about collapsing the currencies of the world, that's going to affect us all. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the voice of Mr. Lindsey Williams as he tells us of a possible financial collapse headed for the U.S. Possibly as early as January of 2013. He's telling us the warning signs. He's telling us how they're doing test runs right now before they actually put this thing into effect. So tonight, get your pens and papers ready. Mr. Williams has given us some very crucial information that you're not going to hear everywhere. But tonight, right here on Center Stage, Mr. Williams is bringing it to us. And let's be good students. Listen and take good notes. Mr. Williams, back to you.
The reason that I'm able to give these things is because by the providence of God, I was invited as a minister of the gospel years ago to be the chaplain to the elite of the world. And because of that, I still have access to pick up the telephone and call one of these individuals if I want to. And I've been put in touch with the Wall Street Insider, who gives me information. And as a result, oftentimes I will know things a long time before they happen. Now, let me state emphatically, the elite are not ready for a financial collapse yet. But I want to give you something that was said to me. Now, Carrie, I said this on Center Stage, I think, many months ago. when I had the privilege of being on your program, I made the statement that about a year ago, and not only did I make the statement on your program, I put this in a DVD that was made about a year, a little over a year ago, so that so a person can never say that I didn't say it and that it didn't happen exactly like the elite have done it. And I said that I had been contacted and was told that I had nothing to worry about for a year and a half. Now, this was 1 year ago. And, Carrie, I made that statement here on your program at one time. And I said, and many of you will remember that about that time, many of the financial newsletters of the world were saying we're going to have a crash. In fact, I'll never forget October. That everybody said, oh, going to be an October surprise. Then came around January. Oh, first of the year, there's going to be a financial collapse. And I would go back to my elite friend, and no financial crash. No, don't have a thing to worry about for another 3 months. And I'd come back on your program, Carrie, and I'd say, there's not going to be a financial collapse over the next 2 to 3 months. Don't have a thing to worry about. The elite are not ready yet. And then I went into detail on one of your programs as to why they were not ready. Because I said they want to create massive debt. Ooh, in every nation of the world, every city in America, every county, every state, every pension fund, they want to create such massive debt that when they finally decide to bring this thing down, they can bring down all the currencies of the world at one time. And so for a year and a half, I had no concern whatsoever. I see these critical things taking place like took place on June 19, 20, and 21 just the other day, and I sit back and watch it unfold like a storm coming in over the horizon, and I know that that storm is not going to bother me, nor you, because they are not ready yet. And it appeared. Now, keep in mind what happened to Wall Street that week, that week of Thursday, June the 20th. Wall Street dropped 1,000 points.
And it just
kept. Gold prices went down, silver prices went down. People were getting the jitters. I sat back here and just said, "No, not going to be anything yet. They're not ready." Well, I want to assure you of something. Barring something unforeseen on the horizon that the elite decide to do, and they can, they could do it tomorrow if they wanted to. They've already done that test run now. They could do it next month. I don't think you have much to be concerned about for approximately 6 months. Now, don't you dare go off and say that I set a date. I am not doing that because they've never given me a date. I will make you a promise, though. The moment that I am given a date by these people, I will give it to you. I promise you I'll do that. And I'm fairly assured from our conversations that I will know a few weeks in advance or a few months in advance, maybe, before this is going to happen. You have to understand something. Here I had given 3 years of my life as a chaplain to these people, and it created an element of admiration or respect. Some of these people had never come in contact with a minister of the gospel like this before. And it created an element of respect that until this day, they try to help me save my family heartache if they can. And oftentimes they tell me things, and sometimes they expect me to tell it, sometimes they don't. And I have gotten in trouble a few times over the years when I've said something that I shouldn't have said. But I will. I promise you that if I know it in advance, which I think I will, I will tell you. And I'll also promise you something else. Any time that I receive a communique from one of these insiders and I feel it's going to drastically affect you or your lifestyle, I'm going to post it on lindseywilliams.net, my website. That's L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, Williams.net. I will post it there just as I did these two emails this past week, which you can go and print out now at no charge whatsoever. I will post bulletins there whenever I receive them from them. Now, there are many things in the wind. Let me go back to my conversation with this individual when I finally got him on the telephone. And I said, will you please try to explain this to me? And he said something to me that's not in either one of these emails. He said, Chaplain, do you understand the connection between the benchmark rate of funding between banks on any given day of 3.3%? He said, do you understand the connection between that and the derivative market? Mm-hmm. That's the last thing I expected him to say to me. And I said, what do you mean the connection between this rate and the derivative market? He said, Chaplain, do you realize that the derivative market is solely dependent on interest rates? And I said, please explain. Now, folks, if you don't know what a derivative is, I plead with you to do a crash course. My DVD series is still available. I think we entitled it The Next 4 Years and How to Survive the Next 4 Years. And in it, I had a financial professional explain a derivative. But let me try to, if I can, just in case there's some out there that quite don't understand what they are. A derivative is nothing in the world but the gambling casino of the super wealthy and rich of the world and the super rich nations of the world. On any given day, this is their method of creating and betting, and it is a crime syndicate of the highest order that has no control whatsoever by any laws in the United States of America. And that derivative market is estimated to be at approximately $2 quadrillion on any given day. That's right. I didn't say trillion. I said quadrillion. We can't comprehend that. There's no way that I can even reckon that in my mind. This thing is so big. And the super wealthy of the world and so on bet on this on any given day. And this is the way they make much of the funding that they get for the projects that they're doing. And he said to me, he said, Chaplain, do you realize that percent interest rate is one of the greatest determining factors of the derivative market? And I said, what do you mean? He said, all right, if a person is a multimillionaire, and they decide that they would like to gamble tonight, they'll call up one of their friends, and they'll say, we'd like to place a bet with you for $1 million. Literally, folks, this is the way it goes. I'd like to place a bet with you for $1 million. Well, $1 million is nothing to them. Some of the people that I rubbed shoulders with back in those days could have written a check for $1 million a day for the rest of their life and never spent their funds. That's how wealthy they were. And they said, okay, we'd like to place a bet with you for $1 million. Now, they know that they can go to that benchmark bank rate on any given night and get that money for 3.3%. So they really aren't too worried. That's all they have to lose if they happen to be the loser or the winner. That's what it cost them. So he said, okay, I'll bet you $1 million that the 10-year bond yield, now 10-year bond is the method whereby the Federal Reserve on any given day will monetize the national debt. You know, we've got $17 trillion national debt, and there's interest on that debt. And they have to sell bonds in order to be able to pay that debt to the people who bought the bonds, the T-bills and the bonds. And so this individual will say, I will bet you that the 10-year bond yield tomorrow is going to be 2.5%. Well, that's usually where it stays. It very seldom goes too much below or too much. If it goes above, people really get excited. So the other person says, I will bet you that it is going to 2.10 on tomorrow. And here you got $1 million bet, and they sleep well at night because losing $1 million wouldn't matter too much to them. And they get up the next morning and one is won and one is lost. You realize that in the derivative market, they will even bet on the weather? Yeah. There are derivatives out there whereby people bet on the weather, and sometimes those bets can be in the millions of dollars. And this is what is known as the gambling syndicate of the super wealthy and rich and the nations of the world, and it is called a derivative, and that derivative market is horrendous in size. Now, he said to me, he said, Chaplain, whenever that interest rate goes up like it did on June the 20th and 21st, he said, it shuts down the derivative market. Can you imagine shutting down a market that is 2 quadrillion? Let's think about this for a minute. I mean, this is almost horrifying to think about it. A 2 quadrillion market, and all of a sudden you shut it down. Do you realize what this does to the currencies of the world? Let me read you the statement that was given last week by the Bank of International Settlements. You can't get any more prestigious than that. The Bank of International Settlements on June the 26th made this statement, quote, the global financial system, he said, there are more than $441 trillion, now did you catch this? I didn't say billion. We think we have a large national debt of $17 trillion. That is a drop in the bucket compared to something in the derivative market. The Bank of International Settlement says there are more than $441 trillion worth of interest rate derivatives. Please catch these three words, interest rate derivative. You know, the average person does not even know that we have this glorified syndicate of banking derivatives and bets. The average person doesn't even realize that this goes on every night while you're sleeping. Now, let me explain this interest rate derivative. Yeah, this is interest rate derivative only. This doesn't have anything to do with the people who are betting on the weather and betting on what's going to happen in Syria and betting on what's going to happen in Iraq. This is just interest rate derivatives alone, according to the Bank of International Settlements, which knows what it is because they handle the funds that's transferred. $441 trillion on any given day is bet on interest rate derivatives. Now, that is whether that interest rate goes up or whether that interest rate goes down. And whenever Mr. Bernanke made that statement that he did on the 19th of June, that interest rate did something it had not done before since 2008. It did this back in 2008, by the way, and that's what brought about the collapse. It went from 3.3 in about 48 hours to 12.33. It shut down inner trading amongst banks. It also shut down the derivative market. And that was drastic. I want to tell you how much the derivative market lost as a result of that. I got this yesterday. The derivative market, as of this morning, because of that little glitch that you heard me just mention a moment ago that I'm talking about now, just because of that little glitch in the derivative rate, the internet rate derivatives, interest rate derivatives, the derivative market has suffered $300 trillion in losses in 1 week.
Oh.
Now, let me tell you what the Federal Reserve lost. Now, keep in mind, the Federal Reserve sold bonds and T-bills in order to pay the interest on the national debt and to monetize the debt. The Federal Reserve also is affected whenever the interest rate goes up and down. And do you realize that you as taxpayers are responsible? The Fed, in the past week, lost $151 billion in bond value. Bond value. These bonds pay the interest on the national debt, and the latest figure as of this morning is that the Fed lost $151 billion just in bond values because of that one little glitch. Now, try to get the picture of this if you can. Here are these super, super, super wealthy elite of the world. And all of a sudden, they tell Mr. Bernanke to say something. He's that puppet. It was planned in advance. They wanted to see what would happen. And it did. It happened exactly like they wanted it to happen. That rate went up to 12.33 from 3.3%. And losses were taken in the derivative market that were staggering. Fortunes were lost. And then all of a sudden, by Monday morning, they soothed it over, let the stock market in New York rise back up to its normal point again and gain 100 points on that Monday morning. And everybody thinks everything's okay and everything soothes over. But the ripple effect of this lost a staggering $300 trillion in the derivative market and caused the Fed to lose $151 billion, which the taxpayer is responsible for. But that'll smooth over also, because it's going to be probably another 6 months before they decide that they will use this method that they have already discovered and test run as a method of collapsing the derivative market completely. And whenever they do, it will collapse every currency in the world at the same time. Gary,
wow.
Does this make you shudder?
You know what? I'm sitting here just trying to wrap my mind around all these things that are going on, and none of this is in the news. So we cannot expect for them to put this on the 5 o'clock news. Make that clear, Mr. Weems, that we're not going to see this on the 5 o'clock news like you're putting it out there.
You will not, because they won't let them. This was a test run, and you don't advertise your test runs. And they would never want the world to know that Mr. Bernanke said this intentionally by design while the elite sat back and watched to see what would happen. And they definitely don't want you to know that when they get ready to bring the currencies of the world down, that they will use this method to collapse the derivative market. They don't want you to know how to watch all of this.
And a lot of people don't understand that the Federal Reserve is not owned by the government. The Federal Reserve is owned by a private entity, private families.
The Federal Reserve is no more a part of the federal government of the United States of America than Federal Express is. Don't allow the name to in any way deter your attention from what it is. It is a privately owned corporation. It is not a part of the government of the United States of America, yet it controls our currency, Carrie.
And, you know, and the thing that people don't realize, so if the currencies are about to collapse and the Federal Reserve is owned by these same people that are going to be controlling the currencies collapsing, do you think those same people who also own the media are going to let you know it's about to happen before it happens? Probably not. I should say not through the media, mainstream media anyway. That's not going to happen that way.
Carrie and everyone out there in the audience of Center Stage, can you understand why I feel so privileged that by the providence of God, I would be allowed years ago to know some of these people so I can tell you some of these things now? I hope that I can save your dinner table. I hope that I can save you much heartache. I hope I can keep you from worrying. If you will listen to what these people have told me, if you will take to heart what you're hearing right here on Center Stage, you have no reason to lose sleep at night whatsoever.
You know, and a lot of people don't understand, because I think I heard on the news last night that the stock market had gained like 1,000 points or something like that this last couple of days. People don't realize that the stock market is being artificially propped up at this time. Is that not correct?
That's right. They have a plunge protection. They really do. They literally have what is called a plunge protection team. And anytime the stock market does something they don't want it to do, they just merely bolster it up. And take it wherever the New York stock market, Wall Street, is not an indicator of anything. There are really only two things that are indicators today. Number one, the interest rate. Number two, what happens to derivatives. Those are the only indicators that you and I can follow.
You know, Mr. Weems, I've been noticing something in the news this week that's very concerning, and that is, we have so many big stories going on at the same time. And I always look at that as an indicator that when they have this many things going on, and not that all of these stories are not big in their own way, when we're talking about immigration and we're talking about the gay rights bill and we're talking about, you know, the George Zimmerman trial, all those and Snowden, with that leak, all of those are big stories. But sometimes isn't that an indicator that something much bigger is going on behind the scenes?
Yes. They are trying to distract your attention away from the main issues so that they can pull the stunts that they want to pull. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. Now, I'd like you to write down a few things that I have seen taking place last week at the same time that the benchmark rate was changing on that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Congress did some things that point to the possible time frame that they have indicated to me. Now, go back again and remember that they said to me, Chaplain, you don't have anything to worry about for a year and a half.
Mm.
And so far, 1 year has gone by, and you've seen many, many, many times that there was a possible collapse on the horizon, but it didn't happen. And many newsletters and talk show hosts have lost that credibility because they announced, going to have a collapse, going to have a collapse, going to be a collapse, and it didn't happen. And it has hurt that credibility. There are a few talk show hosts that have finally gotten to the place that they realize that these elite tell me the right things, and they'll oftentimes call me on the phone and say, Chaplain, is this going to happen or is this not going to happen? And I have been able to save a lot of talk show hosts much embarrassment. Because they didn't make those predictions that were going to be wrong. So what I'm trying to say to you is they said approximately a year and a half. Now, a year has gone by. But I am seeing some things shape up for the possibility of something to take place that I'm not saying it's going to happen. And don't you dare go away from here and say I set a date. They can extend this out 6 months or a year if they want to. Or they can bring it back a few months if they want to. They do have the power to do this. Now, they have already made the test run. You don't have anything to worry about. They know what they can do. They can do it tomorrow morning if they want to. They know exactly how to do it. So there's no, in their way of thinking, they don't have to wait 6 months. But they will because they want to create more debt worldwide so that when they finally bring it all down, people will be in such a condition that they'll be begging for a new currency. They'll be begging for a new constitution. They want to get you to the point that your dollar has lost so much of its purchasing power that your children are at home crying because you can't buy enough groceries, and they'll bring the dollar down to that point at some place. And they want you to get to the place, not that you will riot in the streets, not that you'll bring about civil unrest. They want to bring in the new world order according to their dictates. They don't want to destroy America. They want to bring America under its control. They don't want to destroy Europe. They don't want to destroy China or Japan. But they want to bring these countries under the control of the new world order by bringing about a collapse of the currencies so people will be begging for a new currency, a new constitution, and a new ruler. Now, those of you who have studied the Bible, and that's been my life, all of my days, we knew eventually this was going to happen. The last book of the Bible talks about this man who will come on the scene, who will bring the world out of the chaos that it's in, but the chaos has got to be created first. And God knew years ago that this would happen. And we who have read the Bible, we've read the last chapter, and we know who's going to win. We know the elite won't win in the end. But in the meantime, they are going to cause a lot of heartache. And you can avoid a lot of that heartache yourself. You can. Let me assure you. There were many people at the time of the Great Depression in 1929 through 1933 who made great fortunes out of the Depression. Why? They knew in advance it was coming. They had set their finances in order. And after it was all over with, they could buy things for pennies on the dollar. And those who will take this to heart, you have right now the most glorious window of opportunity that you can possibly imagine because the American dollar is still fairly strong. You still have an opportunity to go and buy and get and trade and do what you want to and make preparations for your family. And if you will make those proper preparations now, you won't have to stay awake at night. You won't have to look behind bushes and look for black helicopters. Keep in mind something. Worry will shut your brain down, and you can't worry about all of this. I was on the phone one day with a very prominent doctor, Dr. David Janda. I've been on his radio show a few times, and Dr. Janda and I were talking about worry, and he said, Chaplain, do you realize that worry shuts the brain down? And I said, yeah, I guess it does, really. He said, people can't make proper decisions when they're desperate, when they're worrying. And folks, you can't let this do that to you. You've got to know the issues, take advantage of doing what you can right now, set things in proper order, and then when all of this begins to happen, you won't have to be those that stand in the soup line, in the bread line in New York and Washington and San Francisco like many did at the time of the Depression. Instead, you can see your way through this if you've made the proper decisions. Now, I want to turn this back to Kerry for a moment. We're right on the hour, and then I want to come back and give you some of the indicators that I have picked up on in the past week that I think you need to watch very carefully, because you can see their time frame in advance, Kerry.
Now listen, y'all, if you just tuned in, the voice you've been hearing is that of Mr. Lindsey Williams as he tells us of a possible economic collapse that's headed our way maybe as early as the next 6 months. He's not giving a timetable tonight, y'all, but he's telling us it could be as early as January 2014. He's telling us how to prepare ourselves. He's given us the indicators. So I suggest you get on the phone, call a friend, call a family member, call a coworker, tell them Lindsey Williams is back center stage again, giving out warning signs that we need to be looking at to determine when the economic collapse is going to be headed our way. He's telling us that this is going to affect our dinner tables, our children, and our future. Our very lives are going to be something that we need to be paying attention to. And Mr. Williams has given us indicators tonight what we need to know, how we need to prepare. And he's telling us fear is not the answer. Worry is not the answer. Preparation is the answer. So, Mr. Williams, again, tell us what we need to be doing. How should we prepare for this?
Well, first of all, everyone out there in the listening audience, I had the privilege years ago of being the chaplain to the elite of the world for 3 years. I have known some of these people over many years, and they've told me things, and I'm basically relating to you tonight some of the things that I have found out in the past week's time. Again, I'm urging you to have pencils and paper. And, Kerry, I would urge everyone listening to Center Stage tonight, I want you to go back and listen to this program over and over and over. For the average individual that's not a financial advisor, not a licensed financial advisor, I know it'll be difficult to pick up on some of these things. But if you go back and listen to them over and over and over, you will be able to get them. Also, I'd like you to do this for me. Please write down lindseywilliams.net, LindseyWilliams.net. Williams.net. That's my website. And I have posted the two emails that were sent to me on June the 20th. And I'm going to make you a promise. I promise you anytime that these insiders give me something that I feel is vital to your welfare, I will post it on lindseywilliams.net. I'll put it right up on the front page. Now, there's no charge for this. This is a free website. You do not have to pay one penny. You can go there and print out these two emails for yourself, and you'll be able to see the ones that I put up there in the future. Now, they don't contact me every day. I don't get information. Sometimes it may be once a month, sometimes once a week. You need to go back periodically to lindseywilliams.net. You need to get on our email list. You'll find a place there. If you would like some of these bulletins sent to you when they're drastic. Now, only in case of them being very drastic will we ever send it out. But in case of a very drastic issue coming to my attention, we have thousands of people on our email list that we automatically send out a blitz to. And if you will allow yourself to be on our email list, we won't use it, we won't give it away to anybody else. I promise you it will never go any further than lindseywilliams.net. And nobody else will have it. We don't sell it, but we will send you bulletins if we ever have one. So please keep in mind, lindseywilliams.net. You need to go there from time to time and look over the materials that I put up. Now, if you have pencils and paper, let me give you some of the indicators that I have seen begin to take place in the past week's time. This past week, number one, Mr. Bernanke did what he did. It was the same week that the Congress passed the Farm Bill. Now, this is drastic. Because of the Farm Bill, do you realize that every dairy product on your table is going to double in price by January the 1st of 2014? This is affecting farmers drastically. And all of this is it appears to me to be in the works, kind of geared towards about January the 1st. It seems these indicators are shaping up to just about that time. So number one, you had the farm bill being passed by Congress that is drastically affecting farmers. Secondly, there was a second bill that was passed by Congress this past week, and oh my goodness, very few people ever even knew it was there. It's called, and I'll give you the exact words of it, the Mortgage Debt Release Act. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this past week. Do you realize that after January the 1st of 2014, there will be no more short sales on houses?
Mm.
Yeah, the majority of real estate trades right now are short sales. Now, you know what a short sale is. A person comes up short on their house, and they want to get rid of it, and they're upside down, and so they will initiate a short sale. And after January the 1st of 2014, according to the Mortgage Debt Release Act, it will be a near impossibility for a person to perform a short sale. Now, do you realize that they're basically shutting down the housing industry as of January the 1st next year? Now, the average person doesn't realize that all of this is shaping up for January 1. But there's another item that happened this past week that was the average person didn't pick up on. Do you realize that for all practical purposes, the President of the United States of America fired Mr. Bernanke this past week? Yeah, Mr. Bernanke is the chairman of the Federal Reserve. And the President made a statement the first of the week, and he said, well, Mr. Bernanke feels that he probably has served out his time as much as he possibly can as the chairman of the Federal Reserve, and he will be leaving as of January the 1st. That is not what Mr. Bernanke decided at all. That was what the president decided, and it's just a polite way of firing the chairman of the Federal Reserve as of January the 1st of this next year. I hope you realize what's going on up there. I mean, there are high stakes rolling right now in Washington. There's another thing that's going to affect you as of January the 1st of 2014, and I hope you realize just how much it's going to affect you. It's called the health care bill. That's right. You know it is Obamacare. I don't like to call it that because Obama wasn't one that wrote it. The elite wrote it. Now, let me go back a ways here, because I've got to get some background to this. Back about 4 years ago, there was a gentleman by the name of Mr. Fromm. He was an insider of insiders. He knew everything that was going on. He's given me information for years and years and years. And about a year and a half ago, he died. About 4 years ago, approximately, or maybe a little before that, we were on a phone conversation one day, and Mr. Fromm said to me, he said, Chaplain, there's kind of a health care thing coming up. And I said, yeah, I understand that there's going to be a health care bill presented before Congress. He said, yes. But he said, Chaplain, it is not a health care bill. Now, you know it today is Obamacare. It's already been passed. Supreme Court has said that it's going to be a tax, and it'll be collected by the tax agency. And you know what it is now. But he said to me back years ago, he said, Chaplain, he knew what was in it. They had written it. They knew exactly what they were putting in there. He said, Chaplain, this is not a health care bill. And I said, Ken, what do you mean this is not a health care bill? He said, Chaplain, this is the final control of the American people. He said, first of all, there was the Patriot Act, and that put in Homeland Security. And you know what that's done to us. Now there's the health care bill. And the health care bill was their final control factor of the American people and of the American economy, and it is not a health care bill at all. It is a total control bill. And the more you look into it, the more you realize what's happening. Now let me show you what's going to happen by January the 1st of this next year. And I want to refer you to something, because this is a part of bringing everything up to an approximate timetable. It looks like the approximate timetable, and I am not setting any dates. And please don't go from this program and say I am. I am only saying that there are a lot of indicators out there that January the 1st is going to be critical, and the health care bill takes place at that point. I want you to go on the web, on YouTube, and I want you to type in David Janda, J-A-N-D-A. David Janda is one of the most prominent physicians in America. He has a radio show. He's so prominent that he was asked to speak before Congress recently about the health care bill. And he did. And you can look at it on YouTube. It is startling beyond words. You're not going to get any health care after January the 1st of this next year. The doctors and nurses are not going to be there for you. Dr. Janda said to me a while back, and of course I mentioned I've been on his show a few times, so I've gotten to know him fairly well. He said to me, he said, Chaplain, 40% of the healthcare professionals of America will have resigned by January the 1st of this next year. 40% of the doctors, the nurses, the hospital staff. Why? They won't do it. They will not abide by Obamacare, the healthcare bill. First of all, they can't make a living at it. The doctors can't. Secondly, there are many parts of the health care bill that an honest person refuses to do. I want to tell you what one doctor said out of Oregon. He's one of the most prominent brain surgeons of the state of Washington and Oregon. This man is very well known. I can't use his name because of who he is. But Anita, a close friend of ours, had gotten this from him, and he made the statement. He said, if I am required to follow the rules of Obamacare, 50% of the people that I am operating on their brain will die on the operating table. Did you catch that? 50% of the people he's operating on their brain, he has to make instantaneous decisions. He doesn't have time to ask Washington anything. And he said, 50% of my patients will die on the operating table if I'm required to follow the rules of Obamacare. Now, doctors opting out. One doctor said to me, he said, Chaplain, well, in fact, David Janda said to me, he said, I will not jeopardize my patients by following the rules of the health care bill. He said, I can't do it. He said, I love my patients too much. Janda has already, now this is one of the most prominent physicians in the nation, and thousands of physicians are already doing this. Janda has already given a date he's going to close down his practice. He's in the prime of his medical work. He's already sold his office building, and he's given a date that he'll turn over all of his patients to someone else. He says, I cannot operate under the health care bill. Now, folks, you are facing the greatest health care system in America. You're facing a total breakup of it. The doctors who are at retirement age are all retiring. The brains, the wisest ones, they won't be around. The younger doctors aren't going into it anymore because they know they can't make a living at it, and they won't follow the dictates of the government. You know the only people you're going to have left out there? The half-brains and the quacks, the few that can hardly make it, and the ones that you wouldn't want to go to anyway. And a lot of doctors now are saying, we refuse to take any patient if we have to take them, that bill has to be paid by insurance. We won't take any insurance patients anymore. The few that are going to stay around that still have a little bit of qualms about them, you'll pay cash when you go in the door and when you leave. That's how serious this thing is getting. Now, because of this, let me tell you what I did. Today is the 28th of June. On the 26th of June, 2 days ago, I released something that I have never done before. Never. I've not done it for a number of reasons. First of all, I was concerned and a little free too. Secondly, it had not gotten this critical yet. But keep in mind, I have been in contact with some of these people for 37, 38 years. They know where to go. They don't get sick. No. They know how to stay well. Do you realize that not a single president of the United States of America has ever died of cancer? Why? They know where to go. Do you know that President Ronald Reagan was diagnosed with colon cancer when he was President of the United States of America? And he brought into America a substance that was illegal to be sold in America and used it and never had a reoccurrence of his colon cancer. Now, these people know what to do. I want to use an example, and if I can think of the name of the talk show host here, let's see. I'll do it. I'll just go ahead. Carrie, I think it'll be okay. Kevin Gallagher is a talk show host that I'm on with on a regular basis. And Kevin lives close to a very, very prominent elitist, Mr. Kissinger. He knows where his house is. And he and some others will from time to time go and picket Mr. Kissinger's house. And he related this story to me the other day privately. He said that Mr. Kissinger's house was being picketed by some people who knew where he lived. Now, he's 90 years of age this year. You do know who Mr. Kissinger is. You know who Daddy Bush is. They are the elite of the elite. And his house was being picketed, and he didn't know it because they had just shown up. And he rode up in the driveway in his automobile, and he realized that there were some picketers out there, and it really upset him. He jumped out of his automobile, ran, 90 years of age, ran across the front yard and up the steps to his house. Healthy as can be. 90 years of age. Why? These people know some things that you don't know. Well, I have been in touch with these people for many, many years, and they've told me some things. There was a point at which I was deathly ill, and they had said to me, Chaplain, you've got to go to this certain place, and I did, outside the United States of America, and came back, and I'm doing great. They know things you don't know, but you can be healthy. And so I decided that I had to tell you, and I did. I just finished, and we announced it, had it available for shipment as of 2 days ago on the 26th, a 1 hour and 46 minute DVD entitled Healing. That's right. I tell you things that you won't find out anywhere else. I tell you things that I have been told. I'll give you ideas as to things that you don't know about. I'll tell you how President Ronald Reagan did what he did. I'll give you many of the inside secrets of these people. I beg of you, please, I hope you'll get this for the sake of your family. There are certain things that you positively must put in your medicine cabinet before January the 1st of 2014. You've got to get them there. You aren't going to have the doctor available to you. You aren't going to have the medical service of the hospital. If you get deathly ill, you probably will have to go outside the United States of America to get the help that you want, because you cannot, these things cannot be taken care of in the United States of America. My problem, when I had a problem, they couldn't even diagnose what I had in America. And when I got outside the country to the place that I went, where my elite friend had told me to go, it took them nearly a week, even them, to diagnose what I had, but they found it. And the doctor said to me one day, he said, Chaplain Williams, it's a good thing you came here, because he said there's not a single doctor or hospital in the United States of America that could have helped you. Now, I want you to please jot these down. You have your pencil and paper handy now. Will you please jot down our toll-free number. You can call during office hours on any given day. Please call 1-888-799-6111. Now, and you can also go on the web. You can go on the web to lindsaywilliams.net, the place I have posted these bulletins, and we'll post other things. And you can see two different DVDs that I beg of you to get. Number one, just this past week, 2 days ago, entitled Healing the Elite Way. Secondly, please get the DVD entitled New Signs the Elite Have Given Me. I try to explain, and this was produced about 2 months ago, but it tells the basic pattern which the elite are going to follow in bringing about what they're going to do in the world, not just the United States of America, but the world. And I beg of you to go and get these for the sake of your family. They're not copywritten. I want you to copy them and give them out to every person you possibly can. Please go to lindsaywilliams.net or toll-free 888-799-6111. And those of you who are accustomed to going to the website prophecyclub.com, you can still go there if you wish also. They're available there, prophecyclub.com. Now, all of these things are shaping up, and Carrie, we've come to about a quarter hour break here. Let me ask you, do you think I'm being able to get this across properly? And you probably have something you need to inject also.
Oh, you know what? No, Mr. Williams, I am absolutely, totally blown away tonight with the information that you shared, and I absolutely think you are making your point very, very clear. I don't think that there's anybody in the listening audience that could not follow tonight. If you somehow just tuned in and don't know whose voice you're hearing, you're listening to the voice of Mr. Lindsay Williams as he's telling us about a financial collapse headed our way, possibly as early as January 2014. He's given us the indicators. He's telling us what to watch out for, y'all. You know, there's many things that have been going on in the country, and he gave us some signs of things that we can look at to determine how close we're getting. He told us signs when Mr. Bernanke came out and told us they were not going to be printing as much money. When Congress passed the Farm Bill, when the Mortgage Debt Relief Act passed recently, when the BOTUS fired Bernanke. And he also told us about Obamacare coming January 2014, things that we need to pay attention to. And all indicators are leading toward January 2014, but Mr. Williams tonight is not giving us a timetable that's definite, but he's saying we should be looking toward that way. Is that not right, correct, Mr. Williams?
Carrie, that's exactly right. I have been tentatively... It has been tentatively indicated to me that I will know in advance before this happens. I'm trusting that I will. And, yeah. Carrie, if I ever call you up on the phone or I send you an email and I say this is drastic and I've got an approximate date, a week or two may not, it may be too long. I will, if at all possible. I will try to help warn people in advance. Right now what I'm giving you is indicators.
Mm.
And there was a test run that was tried this past week by the elite world in order to see what they can do and how they can do it in order to perfect a dry run, so to speak, of a collapse of the derivative market. And they have watched now over 1 week's time, and I think I gave you a figure here a moment ago. Let me reiterate it again because it's so important. They have watched over this week to see what was going to happen to the derivative market, and the global derivative market has suffered in the past 7 days $300 trillion loss. That's staggering. $300 trillion suffered a loss. Now they know exactly what it will take in order to bring down $2 quadrillion. $300 trillion is a drop in the bucket to banks compared to $2 quadrillion, which they say that the derivative market is. So it's nowhere near a collapse yet. But there have been major losses taken out there until affecting the bond market, something horrible. The Federal Reserve itself alone has lost in bond values $151 billion. And your taxpayers are going to be paying that. This is a loss on their part. But they could care less. It really matters not to them. Let me give you the second email that was sent to me on Thursday, June the 20th. Now, once again, for those of you who would like to actually see and print out at no charge, this is a free website, please go to lindseywilliams.net, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, Williams.net, and you can actually print out these two emails for yourself, and I hope you will. Because you have to read them over and over and over and digest them as you do. Now, I want to go into the second one because here again, it is indicators pointing to something. It doesn't mean that anything has happened yet, but they are perfecting the method that they want to use in order to bring down the currencies of the world. Someone asked me on a show here recently when there were some call-ins. They said, well, Chaplain Williams, surely the elite don't control China as much as they do the United States of America and the Euro and some other countries. And I said, oh, yes, they do. Mm-hmm. They control China just as much as they do us. A good indicator was what happened on Thursday, June the 20th, which when Mr. Bernanke made his statement on the 19th, on the 20th, China announced that their one of their biggest banks, the ICBC Bank, had run out of liquidity. It doesn't mean that they were bankrupt. It meant that they ran out of running funds. They just didn't have anything to lend and operate on, and the country of China went to their rescue. Now, you think for a moment's time that the elite don't control China as much as they control America and Europe? You better believe they do. Okay, you're ready for these indicators. Now, you can go and find this for yourself, what I'm about to read you. You'll see it on lindseywilliams.net. So go print it out for yourself. So, and you can, if you happen to be there right now, you can look at it. The U.S. market has declined over the past month. Now, that's nothing new to any of us. You're quite aware of the fact that we have some financial problems. Just look at the number of vacant storefronts in shopping centers around your area. You know that the market has declined. Secondly, the Japanese stock market has dropped 20% recently. 20%. That's the third largest economy in the world. So next, the U.S. bond market has sold off. This is drastic. Do you realize that cities sell bonds, school districts sell bonds, retirement funds sell bonds? Why? If a city wants to build a new water plant, they sell a bond. People buy that bond, and they pay them 3, 4, 5% interest on the bond. The bond market is shut down. If a city wants to sell a bond now, or a school board wants to sell a bond, or you want to build a sports arena or something, you can't sell bonds right now. The bond market, the bottom's falling out. 20%. Now, let's go to the next one. Gold. Gold is down 20% year to date since January the 1st. Chinese stock market, FXI, has fallen 19.69% since January the 1st. Chinese stock market that we thought was the most booming country in the world. The emerging markets, these are third world countries that are beginning to become of age. The emerging markets, look at Brazil and the riots they're having right now. The emerging markets, the stocks, have depreciated by 11.3% in the last 30 days. Emerging markets, this is terrible for third world countries. Now, I want to give you something that was given to me. It's kind of a secret, you might call it. I didn't know it until last Thursday. No, really, I didn't. I've heard them talk about gold. I've heard them talk about silver. I've heard them say that this is their currency, is gold and silver. But there's one thing that I somehow never caught it. Would you like to know what the premier asset is that the elite watch? No, it's not the New York stock market. It's not Wall Street at all. They don't pay any attention to that whatsoever. That's totally manipulated. It's not gold and silver. Even though that is their currency, that's not what they watch most to know where the markets are going. This one's going to surprise you, and you're going to start watching it yourself from now on. The elite, their premier asset that they consider in knowing whether there is growth or contraction is the copper market. Yes, what our penny used to be made out of before they took the copper out, what your water pipes in your house may be made out of, what your air conditioner has in pipes running from your compressor into your air handling unit. Copper is the premier asset that is considered to watch to know whether there's going to be growth or contraction. May I tell you what has happened since January the 1st? Copper has contracted 18% since January the 1st. The investors know exactly what is happening in the world by watching what is happening to such things as this. And we're seeing every bit of this shaping up to what appears to be somewhat of a target date. Now, I'm not setting any dates here. Please, don't you dare. I'm talking about it appears that we've got kind of a target date down here that is going to culminate at some point somewhere around 6 months from now. It could be a year. It could be 9 months. It could be 3 months. It could be next week. They've already done the test run, and they know how now they can do what they'd like to in bringing things about. Well, Kerry, again, let me ask you. Hopefully I'm giving things that the average person are picking up on.
You know what, Mr. Williams? They would have to be really not paying attention, because I think everything you said tonight resonates with all of us, that there's something going on that we have reason to be concerned about. When all the things that are connected to the market are shifting, that's a good indicator that something is going on. So anybody who may not have a financial background can still tell the shift, the number of shifts are indicating that there's something, you know, to worry about. If you just tuned in and you're wondering, who is that guy talking? That is Mr. Lindsay Williams tonight, and he is telling us about a possible financial collapse headed for the U.S. as early as possibly January 2014. He's given us all the indicators tonight, y'all, that we need to be watching for. He talked earlier about Bernanke, talking about not printing as much money. That was a test run. He talked about Congress passing the Farm Bill, the Mortgage Debt Relief Act, no more short sales as of January 2014, and the BOTUS, fired Bernanke. That is going to be effective January 2014, as well as Obamacare goes into effect January 1st, 2014. So everything looks like it's going to be pointing toward January 2014. So we all should have our eyes looking toward January 2014 anyway, Mr. Williams, because it looks like a lot's going to be going on.
Please go to lindsaywilliams.net. It's a free website. You don't have to pay a thing. Mm-hmm. Please go lindsaywilliams.net. On the front page, you will find the two emails that were sent to me on the 20th of June. You can print them out. They're free of charge. They're yours. And I hope you'll digest them well. Again, let me make the promise that any time I am given something by one of my insider friends that I feel is catastrophic for your welfare, I will print it there on our front page. Also, please note our two new DVDs, one entitled Healing. You are going to need this before the health care bill takes place on January the 1st of 2014. You will not have the health care then that you've got now. You must put certain things into your medicine cabinet before January the 1st of 2014. And I tell you what they are. I'll explain it to you. You'll get the technical details. You'll see it in an hour and 46-minute DVD. And our second DVD there is New Signs the Elite Have Given Me. If you'd like to know the signs whereby you can follow these events, you'll find it right there on lindsaywilliams.net. I would urge you to go there on a regular basis, and whenever I find something, I post there, maybe once a week, maybe once a month, maybe once a day. I don't know. It just depends on when I happen to get something that you'll find very valuable. I hope you'll get it. Now, I'd like to change over to a different subject slightly that will also be an indicator to you as to where we're going. On the 12th of June, hasn't been too long ago, this is only the 28th, on the 12th of June, something took place that some people picked up on and some didn't. I was very concerned when I saw it. On the 12th of June, J.P. Morgan made an announcement. Now, J.P. Morgan is the largest financial house in America. J.P. Morgan has a gold vault. Let me try to explain. There are a number of gold vaults in America. They're like big bank vaults. And stored in them is gold. You see, the super rich and many of the nations of the world have stored their gold in a safe place. And J.P. Morgan and the other gold vaults around the world, which are many in Europe and a number across America, these gold vaults will give a piece of paper to the person whose gold they have stored, saying, "We have your gold in our vault." Well, there are a lot of people who have been very concerned recently that that gold might not be there. You have a piece of paper, sure, saying it's there. The first one that did this was Venezuela and Mr. Chavez before he died. You remember before he died what he did? He said, "I want my gold physically delivered back to Venezuela," and he demanded that the gold vault send it back to Venezuela. And he got it back. Now, that kind of started something. Then Germany came along and said, "We want our gold." And then China said, "We'd like to get some of our gold." Then India demanded some of their gold. Then the super wealthy started demanding their gold. And within the past 30 to 45 days, there has been a run on the gold vaults around the world. And it is scary because it's looking like the gold isn't really there. They issued a piece of paper saying it's there. But then they took the gold that they had there and they hedged it. I hope you're getting this. They hedged it. They used it like fractional reserve banking, and they really don't have it. Now, it's supposed to be there, and they've given out pieces of paper saying it was there. J.P. Morgan is the first gold vault in the world, to my knowledge, that made a confession. And they made it on June the 12th. It hit the national news, but very few people picked up on it. On June the 12th, J.P. Morgan said that their gold vault had diminished, or it had dropped in the amount of gold that it had by, are you ready to get this now? Please go back and look on the internet and you'll pick this up for June the 12th. And J.P. Morgan announced that the amount of gold that they had in their gold vault, because so many people had demanded shipment, physical, literal shipment. They had to ship it. They had no choice. They gave them a piece of paper saying it was there. If you ever want it, we'll give it to you. And the super wealthy and the nations of the world had demanded it, and their gold vault dropped by 28.4% in one 24-hour period. Oh, are you catching this? I want to give you the number of customers. You can go back and look at this on the internet for yourself. There were 6,208 customers that demanded their gold from J.P. Morgan. 6,208. Now, some of those were countries. Some of those were individuals. 80% of the total of the entire COMEX system. And they had to deliver it. But there was another announcement that J.P. Morgan made at the same time that to me was much more startling than that. J.P. Morgan said that at this rate of delivery or demand of gold that's in their vault for physical delivery, that within a month and a half, their vault would be empty. Does that mean then that Fort Knox will be empty? Does that mean that the vaults of Europe will be empty? Does that mean that the other gold vaults around America will likewise be empty within a month and a half? Because they're having physical delivery demands just as much as J.P. Morgan, just that J.P. Morgan was the first one to announce it. Now, this is startling. Okay, imagine with me for a moment. Just put your thinking cap on now. Gold is... it is the one thing that when everything else fails, it stands. The paper, it can collapse. Many, many countries in the world, their paper has collapsed. The bond market and the T-bill market might collapse. You'll still have your gold in your pocket. As long as you hold it, it's yours. And that's what people are finding out. Can you imagine what's going to happen the day that the gold vaults of the world are forced to announce, we're out, and we haven't delivered everything to every customer yet. We're out. Carrie, can you imagine what's going to happen?
You know, I say panic or run on the banks. What do you think? I mean, I think that people, I mean, if they get, when that, you know, their property is not there, I think it's going to be chaos in the streets. I think one of your emails says that it could be violent. Did it not say at the end of the email that it could be violent?
No. They didn't indicate that at all. They just merely make a statement, and then leave the imagination up to the individual. Now, there's something that has happened lately that will explain all of this. And those of you who are financially savvy, you are going to pick up on this real quick. Do you know what has happened to gold and silver prices within the past few months? Down, 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 down. Gold went from $1,900 an ounce to $1,200 an ounce. And I predict it's going to go to $1,100 an ounce before it stops. Why?
And can I jump in on that? And we're going to take a question from 607 if you have time, Mr. Williams. But as far as gold and silver, and, you know, we're talking about the currencies possibly collapsing. Should people still be investing in gold and silver?
Oh, they ought to buy it immediately. It is probably pretty close to the bottom right now, or at the bottom. Now, what is J.P. Morgan doing? Real quickly, let me try to explain this if I can. Now, J.P. Morgan knows their gold vault is giving out of gold. They know that they've got a lot of paper outstanding, and they can't fill that physical delivery. How are they going to keep from looking bad or going to bankruptcy? They're going to go out and buy every piece of gold they can buy from the market, everywhere they can get it, so they can make physical delivery to their clients. Why do you think gold prices have gone down so much? They want to be able to buy gold at the cheapest price they can buy it at. And every gold vault in the world is buying gold right now like it's going out of style in order to be able to fill the physical delivery orders, and they're forcing the price of gold down. And whenever they finally get to the point where it's all given out, gold and silver prices are going to go through the roof. Gold's going to go to $3,000 an ounce. You're going to see silver go to $75 to $100 an ounce. When there is no more out there, this is what happens because of supply and demand.
Wow. Okay, repeat that one more time for you all who are wondering. Okay, gold prices are down, silver prices are down. Should I be buying gold and silver right now? And your answer is, Mr. Williams?
Positively, everything you can get your hands on. It is the only thing that has never gone to zero. The streets of the New Jerusalem in heaven are coated with it. God knows where the value is. Every nation in the world, when nothing else was any good, the gold and silver was the value. The coins originally were made out of it. And when the paper is long gone, you'll still have that in your pocket.
Wow. Can we go to take one phone call, Mr. Williams, and see what 607 has on their mind tonight?
Oh, please do.
Okay. Area code 607, we're coming to you. Area code 607-522. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Yes, ma'am. Good evening. I had a comment for Lindsay Williams.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Hi.
Well, it appears that you've published the email that Lindsay Williams sent to you. And he said that he didn't give any indication that the results or a reaction would be violent. Well, let me quote this to you. It's a quote: "Be sure that everything you own is in your possession. Crash, I don't know. Be ready for a public reaction. Interest rates are the greatest factor controlling the derivatives market. This could be violent." Unquote. Do you deny saying that, Mr. Williams?
Yes, I do, because the person who handles my website put that up. I sent the two emails in, and he felt that he wanted to editorialize a little bit. He told me he was going to do
it. Okay, well, let me just ask you another question. I've been listening to you for a number of years, and I've been following this and researching it. Now, would you agree that possession today would be 9/10 of the law or not? And this pertains to not only gold, but also property.
Well, positively, a person must possess it in their possession. Do not have it into paper. If it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper.
What I'm asking you, Pastor Williams, is what you're saying is if you don't possess the property, I mean, if you're not living there and having been living there for a number of years, that if it's proven that you don't possess the property, then you're saying that this could be a violent situation. Is that correct?
Are you speaking of the gold itself?
No, he's speaking of property now.
Both.
Okay.
And you definitely
possession of gold. And what I'm saying is, yes. So you're saying that those of us that have not paid off our mortgages, are not in possession of the property. Is that what you're saying?
No, if you have not paid off your mortgage, then either the bank or the Federal Reserve owns your property.
Okay, and that has nothing to do with J.P. Morgan per se, because J.P. Morgan is a standard unto itself. I mean, I could be dealing with a bank, 1,500 miles away from me that I pay my mortgage to. But so why would I even think about buying gold if they could possess the property?
Because there will be a time when the American dollar has lost so much of its purchasing power that they will bring in a new worldwide currency. Whenever they bring in the new worldwide currency, I've been told it'll be backed by gold and silver.
So what you're saying is
whatever gold, you can pick whatever gold or silver that you have, and you can buy the new currency with it and still maintain your household.
Right. Well, that's the other thing. What is this new currency that you're speaking of?
It's the new world order currency. They've talked about it for the longest time, the World Bank.
But you can't identify it. You can't identify it as being anything physical. You're not saying it's the euro or another currency. You're just saying that it's going to be a currency that you haven't identified yet.
But, Colin, you can't make Mr. Williams tell you anything that he has not found out for a fact yet. I mean, you're asking him to speculate.
You need currency in order to be able to carry on daily transactions. And right now you have a Federal Reserve note that still has purchasing power to the point that you can go and buy groceries, you can go to the service station and get your gasoline and all that.
Lindsay, I've heard this all before. What you're telling me is that if I own property and if I have stuff on my property, you're saying it's worthless, that I can't even barter for it, that the government has possession of my property and everything on it, including me. Now, what does that leave me with? Running with a bag of gold through the woods? I mean, come on, man. You got to be more specific here.
Well,
because when it comes down to brass tacks and I got men coming on my property to take it, where's my gold? It doesn't matter. They're going to take me off of my own property?
They're doing it every day.
Yeah, Colin, we got to move on, but you can't shoot the messenger. I mean, he's just telling you what he understands to be. Yeah, you can't shoot the messenger.
Absolutely, I can. I'm not shooting the messenger. I'm questioning the messenger. That's the problem here.
He just answered your question.
No, he did not answer my question.
Okay, we're going to give this another 30 seconds. Then we got to move on. Mr. Williams, would you like to address that any further?
I'm not quite so sure what this gentleman is getting at. He's not making himself plain at all. It's almost as if he's saying he owns some gold, he's got it on his property, yet he has a mortgage that has not been paid off. Maybe you'd like to give some very definite consideration to taking that gold and paying off the mortgage so you've got a paid-off house. Then you don't have to worry about the gold.
He's hung up. And, caller, you know what? I'm sorry you didn't get the answer you were searching for tonight, but I think you were asking Mr. Williams to answer questions that you were not clear on what you meant when you asked them. But, okay, Mr. Williams, we're down to our last 12 minutes of the show. So go ahead and close us out with any other information you were trying to give out tonight.
Well, first of all, we need to give some very definite consideration to all of these factors. There's so many factors at play. There is the bond market that is literally collapsing before people's eyes. There is the bond market. There is the currency lack of gold that J.P. Morgan's talking about. They're putting so many factors in place. Now, keep in mind something. These people, the only thing they want is control. That's all they're after. They're after the new world order control. And this should not surprise anybody who knows the Bible. Because if you've ever studied the Bible, it tells us that these things are going to happen in the last days. So all you're doing is seeing before your eyes something that God told us thousands of years ago would take place. The exciting part is he said it would take place in the last days. So if we have seeing it happen right now, we've got a wonderful hope out there in the soon coming of Jesus Christ. We've got a wonderful hope in the fact that we're seeing the Bible fulfilled right in front of our eyes. So I would highly recommend that before you do anything about your house mortgage, before you do anything about your gold holdings, before you do anything about your stocks and bonds, first thing that every person needs to do is set their spiritual house in order. If you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you are sure that your destination is settled, then your house is on a solid rock. And God will help you through all of these things. If you're on sinking sand, you're in big trouble. You can sleep well at night. There is no reason to ever be worried over any of this. You can take precautions right now. You can have the Lord's help. I beg of you to go to the book of Romans and read the scriptures as to what you need to do in order to be assured that your relationship is correct and that Jesus Christ is your Savior. And when you've done all of those things, then you put things in order so that there's really nothing else you can do. And once you've done all you can do, you know, my family, they naturally hear me talking about all this, and I don't discuss it too much unless they ask me a question. And basically the subject came up here a while back, well, have we done everything that we can do? And I said, yes, we've done everything we can do. We have taken every precaution that is humanly possible in light of what I know. You know, when you do that, you can lay your head down at night and rest in peace and know that everything's going to be okay. So I honestly believe that we had an indicator recently that was one of the greatest I've seen in a long time. You'll remember after the Sandy Hook event, and our president came out and said, I'm going to see to it everything I can do in my power to put through legislation to stop this ever happening again with guns. The American people reacted the exact opposite to what the elite thought they were going to react.
Yeah.
They went out and bought every gun they could get every piece of ammunition they could get. They did the exact opposite in America of what Australia did. Australia bowed. Exact opposite of England. The exact opposite of Canada. And I want to tell you, Carrie, and everybody out there in the audience of Center Stage, it scared the elite to death. Why? They realize that the American people have a free spirit, that there's still something in their genes because of hundreds of years of freedom that no other nation on the face of the earth has. And I believe if there's any nation on the face of the earth that there is a hope of rebellion against the elites and their program and against the New World Order, I believe it's America, and I think we have an opportunity to be that one nation that will not give in to all the rest of the elites' ways of doing things. I have real hope. And it was evidenced with what happened when the American people, the President of the United States of America, became the greatest salesman of firearms and ammunition of any president we've ever had in the United States of America in all of these years. He sold out the gun stores. People said, we aren't giving in. Now, if they won't give in on that, they won't give in on health care either. And they won't give in on all of this other. Washington and the elite are ramming it down their throats and pushing it at them, but the American people is coming a breaking point, and whenever they do, they will say it's enough. I believe that you should have hope and that you should realize that in America, we still have an opportunity that no other nation on the face of the earth has, and that's the reason, Carrie, it's been such a privilege to be on your show tonight.
You know what, Mr. Williams, it is always a pleasure. I think Mr. Williams has been on this stage more than any guest I have ever had. I mean, you know what, he comes back most of the time, y'all, by popular demand. I get the emails, when is Lindsay Williams going to come back? Because he'll see things going on in the country and want to know what is going on and when is Mr. Williams coming back again. Let me ask you, Mr. Williams, are we hearing anything from the elitists about Syria?
Yes, definitely. Syria is a major issue. Don't pay any attention to Iran. They're going to allow Iran to develop its nuclear device. Syria, they want it to fall. Syria was supposed to have fallen. If you'd like to hear this from somebody besides me, go on the YouTube to General Wesley Clark. You'll find his speech. He was told what order the nations were going to fall in the Middle East. General Wesley Clark on YouTube. You can see it for yourself. And then after Syria falls, Saudi Arabia is next. So, yeah, Syria is a major, major issue right now. And it really bothers me because of the fact that our president is doing what he's doing and Russia is doing what they're doing, and the two are at odds against each other. And it really looks like it could be a major crisis over there.
Okay, yeah, listen. Lizzie Williams has given us an earful tonight. I mean, if you caught the if you didn't catch it from the beginning, I suggest you go back, as Mr. Williams said, and listen to this tape over and over and over again. He gave us the indicators, y'all. I mean, the indicators that let us know that something is going to happen really, really soon. We're looking at a timetable, and he does not want to be exact, and I respect that tonight. But January 2014 definitely looks like a time in which some things are going to be moving, and that could be a time in which the economic collapse could possibly happen. But Mr. Williams is not saying for certain that is the case. But Mr. Williams, thank you so much for being with me tonight. If somebody would like to reach out to you, you said to go to lindseywilliams.net to get your DVDs, or they could call 1-888-799-6111. You told them about the new DVD, Healing the Elite Way, and you also told them about that other DVD that you have out called The New Signs the Elites Have Given Me. And so, y'all, if y'all want to get those DVDs, and I recommend that you do, go to lindseywilliams.net or call Lindsey Williams at 1-888-799-6111. Thank you so much for being with me tonight, Mr. Williams. It has been my pleasure, and I have learned so very much. Listen, y'all, a reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage, the host, or our advertisers. Also, y'all, a reminder, we do this each and every Friday night. If you want to be edified, listen, there's no telling what's going to happen on Center Stage. If you want to know what's going on in the world, we've been talking about the George Zimmerman trial. Listen, y'all need to go back and catch those recent shows. We have really been on top of that. We got the file from the Sanford Police Department, and we have been on it 100%. So definitely we covered Does the Evidence Prove Trayvon Martin Was Murdered? We also covered Who's the Real George, or Who is the Real George Zimmerman? We also covered the myth concerning the Trayvon Martin shooting. And all of those are really great podcasts, y'all. And I suggest that you definitely go back and listen to them. But we do this each and every Friday night right here, Center Stage. Also, a reminder, listen, if you like what we do here on Center Stage, I mean, if you like what we do and you have a product that you'd like us to advertise here on Center Stage, drop us a line at centerstageradio@yahoo.com. That's centerstageradio@yahoo.com. And we'd love to talk to you about advertising here on Center Stage. Listen, again, we'd like to say thank you to Mr. Lindsey Williams for being with us. And we'd also like to say thank you to Blog Talk Radio tonight. We are being featured, y'all, tonight from 12 a.m. Tonight until 12 a.m. Sunday on Staff Picks. So you will be able to hear this again tonight. We're going to be featured, I guess I should say. Heard again, I'm sorry. Let me get that right. We're going to be featured on Staff Picks from 12 a.m. tonight until 12 a.m. Sunday night. And what else is going on? Again, thank you to Mr. Williams. Thank you, the audience, for listening. And listen, y'all, we got to get out of here. We got to make way for somebody else who's going to do what we're going to do, what we've been doing for the last 2 hours. I have enjoyed spending this time with you, and I enjoyed spending this 2 hours with Mr. Williams. I will see you guys next week. Bye-bye.